Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. Today, I want to talk about selling products, selling things, closing deals, right? Making sales and closing deals. Now, I use this background. This background is a picture of a BNI chapter I used to belong to. And right there, you see everybody, you know, with their hands like this. The lady that was doing the presentation that day was running a health spa, and she had float tanks, which I love, and she did massages and meditation, and she was also a yoga instructor. And so that was fun, and she was taking us, you know, every week somebody gets time, 10 or 15 minutes to do a prezi, and her turn was that, and so she was taking us through a meditation. But anyway, I use the BNI picture because that is a place where the whole focus of BNI is to get clients, you know, make deals, make close sales, make deals, right? And so that is a structure to do that. And I wanted you to think today with me about structures. Yesterday, or last episode, I talked about how to fill your team, the free teams, the paid teams, and how the relationships around you are all exactly the same about, you know, adding value, creating value for each other and everything else. Today, I want to talk specifically about making sales and closing deals and what's involved in that. And that is because sales is the lifeblood of any business. Like if you're not making sales, then you're in trouble, right? If you're not closing deals, you're in trouble. And there's several ways to go about this. One is you have to be doing outbound marketing. And the other is there's awareness. People know about you already. And so there's some degree of inbound inquiry. And it's funny because I have had clients who say to me, oh man, I don't want to do any outbound stuff. I don't like doing it. I want to just have calls coming in. I just want to answer calls. Well, you can create a business like that, but you have to do some work. In fact, you have to do a lot of work. There has to be enough awareness of you, of your product or service. The awareness has to be clear so people know exactly what you solve. And there has to be enough sort of in the atmosphere success and awareness so that people think of you when they think of that problem. And that doesn't happen when you open a business, ever, under any circumstances. You have to create that. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So I'm going to talk both about the outbound piece and about the inbound piece, and also about closing, the closing part, because outbound and inbound is just marketing. And I say just marketing, that's super, 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 super important, obviously, because if people don't know you, then they can't buy from you. Right? They have to know you and they have to know exactly what you do. And here's a silly example, and I've used it before, but if I go to the grocery store and I walk down the aisle with bread, nobody needs to tell me what bread does. I know, I look at it and I see, you know, 27,000 grain bread. Okay, I know that's going to be crunchy and probably heavy. And I may want just that. I want to make sandwiches like that. Or I may go down the aisle and buy the old style white bread. Now, I don't know why anybody'd eat that anymore because it's practically like eating poison, but I know what it tastes like and so do you. So you know that about that. Do people understand your products and services like that? If they don't, and coaching and what I sell is really hard for people to understand unless they've already had experience. They've had a coach and it was good and they love it and they want more, or they hated it and they want to avoid it like the plague. Either one of those cases, they clearly have had an experience and, you know, it was like eating something bad and you threw up. You never want to go back to that restaurant again. It's funny, when Joy and I lived in Calgary in 2008, Calgary, Alberta, in case you don't know where that is, north of Montana, we went to a restaurant. It was a very high-end restaurant, expensive. We went there and Joy got sick afterwards, food poisoning. And so her favorite joke is, you know, expensive restaurants mean I vomit all night. And of course, we've never been back. I really enjoyed it. And I'd been to that restaurant before in the years when I was doing consulting work from 2003 to 2007. But anyway, so, you know, that experience with that restaurant meant never, but never again. And coaching can be the same, or you might have any product or service. So here's the thing. If you want to sell products and services, you have to be clear about the problem you're solving. as clear as bread solves hunger. It has to be that clear. So one way I am that clear about coaching is coaching creates change. Coaching makes a difference in any area you want. So if you get the right coaching, so if you say, I have a business, I want more money, coaching helps you create cash. Coaching helps you find more clients. That's the way I think of it, so that it's as clear as hunger. Bread solves hunger, right? All right, so when you think about making sales and closing deals, you got to have that kind of clarity. If you can't say that to me face-to-face, then you're going to have a terrible time with your marketing, because if I can't even understand you face-to-face when you can read my body language and help me, da-da-da, writing language that's that clear is going to be a tough road to hoe. It's going to be hard. So you got to think about how your product is used and not what it does, but what I get. So if you have a product or service, like I have many clients who are selling different things. I have one client who sells a product and a service to help people learn to freelance, like on Upwork or freelancer.com or Fiverr or one of the other. There's like 100 freelancing platforms. And so he teaches them to assess their skills, find out the real ones that are valuable, assess the market, you know, what things are being in high demand, helps them write a profile, helps them get their first job, you know, and to get rolling in that process. So that's really clear. You can go from not making any money to being listed on freelancing platforms to making cash. And that's his product and service. So your product and service needs to be that clear. And if you can't say it in a short description, then it's going to be hard, because our attention span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And if it is at all confusing, you're toast. I had someone I talked to the other day, and as you know, I talk to several new people a week, because networking and getting to know people is something I love to do. I need it for my business, because, you know, creating clients and so forth, but I love it anyway. I am the alchemist of life. Says right on the screen, I am the alchemist of life, lover of people, healer of souls, magnifier of prosperity. I own that and I love it. I do it for me and I do it for everybody I touch, because I love you. I want you to be successful. I want you to have the ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And often, not for everyone that I coach, but for many people, closing deals, making sales is a big important part of that. Because when we, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday afternoon and he said, oh, you know, I understand all this stuff about, you know, your purpose in life and everything else. But when I don't have the money I need, everything else just slides off the table. And that is the big 1,000-pound gorilla, the big turd in the punch bowl. It's the thing staring me in the face that's making me uptight, not think straight, be frustrated and frightened and all the rest. So I get it. Now, if you are in a position where you have all the cash you need, and that isn't an issue, then we have different conversations. Because I have been in the place where I made all the money I wanted, but I was miserable. I was an addict. I was struggling with depression. It got to the point where I attempted suicide a couple of times, and you know the story. And if you don't, I would ask you to read Tightrope of Depression. It's on Amazon, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. It talks about how I went from feeling worthless, not good enough, even though I made a lot of money and had an outward facade, to discovering my real purpose in life and being connected and loving every single day of breath and life like I do now. So if any of that resonates with you, that book is the beginning. And then let's talk, because there is a way through and beyond whatever you're struggling with, whether it's money, which we are talking about today, or value, worth, good enough, imposter syndrome, depression, all of those things that hold us down from realizing the full value of our gifts and talents. You're a divine being. You can have anything you want. All right, so back to the topic here. Your product and service. Do you know who needs it. Bread, anyone who's hungry, who's not gluten intolerant, in which case they need a different kind of bread, right? Oat bread or something. All right, so do you know? I can tell you who needs coaching, someone who wants change, someone who needs accountability, shortcuts, hand-holding, someone who needs to create a big, powerful vision of who they really are and then believe into it, believe it and lean into it. I talk to so many people who say, oh, I wish I could, and they have that sort of wistful conversation with themselves or with me about what they could do and they want to do and they can't and they don't and sad and all the rest. And the truth is they've never discovered and committed to walking a path. Change. Because if you want to keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the results you've always got. And you know that. And if you're happy with the results you have, then you're good. And if you're not, you can languish and be frustrated, or you can adopt a process of specific change. I sell change. I provide change, energy, example, encouragement, sometimes even permission, because sometimes people think they're not worthy, good enough, they can't do this because. The list of becauses is long. So if I'm describing my product, if there's something you want to change in your life, I coach people through that to get to their podium, to their goal line, to the finish, till they can raise their hands in victory and celebrate their power. That's what I sell. Change, energy, example, encouragement, power to let you be who you imagine. So that's really clear. Is your product that clear? You need it to be if you're going to make sales and close deals. Okay, then you need to be able to describe who needs your product. And again, I'll use my example, or I'll use that client I was talking about a bit ago. Anyone who is, he specializes in people that are nearly retired or retiring, because a lot of the times they're like, oh, now what am I going to do? Maybe I need a little money because I don't have enough saved. Okay, I need to keep making money, but I don't want to stay working like that, or I want to work from home. Or maybe I have, you know, good retirement set and I can live, I add Social Security or whatever, but I want to stay active. I don't want to just sit and be a couch potato and golf and do nothing. So either one of those, he appeals to those people. Who needs his product? Someone who has done a career for a long time and doesn't know how to get into the digital economy, doesn't know how to get into the gig process of creating stuff, doesn't know how to identify their skills. I'll give you a funny example. One of his clients is a dentist. And the dentist said, well, I got nothing I can offer online. I mean, I can't drill and fill over the internet. And the answer is, of course you can't. But you have a ton of other skills, your medical training, your ability to assess and help people with advice about their oral health and about the other habits that they have that will contribute to that. All the stuff besides the actual drill and fill. And because someone has been at the game for 30 years or 35 years or whatever, they have a wealth of experience and knowledge that can be translated and transferred in a valuable way. Maybe that's just one thing relating to the very job that they did. Maybe they had a hobby of collecting this. That is a service that some people want. Maybe they got really good at running their practice, dental practices. I know a lady who doesn't do anything except be a coach to dental practices to improve their efficiency, the number of people in chairs, how long it takes to do the cleaning, and all that kind of stuff. And she has a full coaching practice. And so as a retiring anything, you have advice and skill that you can give to help those who are 10 or 20 or 30 years behind you. And it's valuable and it's worth money. But if you don't know how to articulate and then how to find people that need your products and services, you're toast. So first thing, can you tell me what you do in two or three or four words, or at least 5 seconds or less? Not 30 seconds. That's an elevator pitch and you need that too. But your ability to just describe bread eliminates hunger. I create change, positive, constructive change. 5 seconds. Okay, and who needs that? Well, people that are not happy with their life, their money, their relationships, people who are toughing it out every day and are tired of it. Okay, for that client I was talking about, people that are getting ready to retire, or they're ready to get out of the job they have and they don't want to go back in the regular 9-to-5. And they want to do something with skills they already have so he can train them how to do that and take advantage of the things that are in place. So you need to be able to do that, do it well. And if you can't, get on it. And if you want help, get a hold of me. I'm an expert at helping you get clear and succinct about what you do. The next thing is, how do you find people who need you? After you know exactly what you do and who needs it, and you can say it clearly and in just a few seconds, then where are they? Well, that is a bit of a hunt. Okay, when I was running the recording studio when I first opened it in the early 80s in Phoenix, I ran it out of my house. I built a garage and did some stuff, and it was a very nice studio. But, you know, I'm just one dude out in the burbs, right? And so how was I going to find people that needed that? Well, I needed to figure out where they looked. It turned out that it wasn't the Yellow Pages, although I tried ads there for a couple of years. It turned out it wasn't the regular newspaper because there were too many other things. There was a newspaper called the New Times, and that was sort of the artist and offbeat newspaper. It was free. Oh, that's a plus for people. And it came out every Friday and was at every Circle K and gas station, 7-Eleven. That was the jackpot. So I advertised in there about the studio and I filled my studio practice. Okay. So you need to find out where those people are that you've identified. One of the big mistakes I see is people don't really have a clear idea. Oh, I can help everybody. No, you can't. Or maybe you can, but ask a different question. Who are the people who are the easiest for you to help and that you can help the most? What are the bleeding symptoms of people that just need whatever you do? If you can answer that question, it becomes a lot easier to figure out where they are. Like, I found musicians, wannabe musicians, bands that wanted to record demos, all those things. Where did they look? They looked in the New Times, but I didn't know that at first. Okay. So today we have all the traditional places. We have, depending on your business and depending on what you do, you have things like BNI, Business Networking International. You pay, you go there, you belong to a group of between 20 and 50 people. There's only one person in that chapter that does what you do. They limit it. And so then there's many, many chapters in a city. And every week you get to talk to everybody there. And the goal of belonging is to find each other referrals. So everybody knows what everybody does. And then in their own life, they know people that need this, that, and the other. Somebody's furnace broke. Somebody's going to re-roof. Somebody wants a will. Somebody needs a pharmacist. And then they recommend them. And because you belong to the same chapter, you meet each other, you vet each other. And so there's trust. So you can refer friends with, you know, confidence. So that is one model, a networking model. Now, there's 1,000 networking models besides BNI. BNI, I think, is the largest and most successful with chapters all over the world. But there are many others. There's speed networking put on. There's chambers of commerce. There are places where you intentionally go meet people. Now, you can think, well, that's a waste of time. Well, it can become not a waste of time if you only go to those places where you believe your fish are, and if you learn to talk to people in just a few seconds to figure out the possibilities. Now, one of the things I teach in the course I have called Crush Your Client Enrollment, and if you want to know more about that, reach out to me, because Crush Your Client Enrollment is a fabulous course for anyone that needs to find clients. It is 4 steps, masterful, and works for me and works for my clients. So you need to figure out how to create connection. Because at networking meetings, whether they're online or offline, you've got meetup groups. That's another one that's migrated online since COVID. And meetup groups are often people of like mind. And so you know what the flavor of the meetup group is. Some meetup groups are just networking. Now, you and I have both been to networking meetings where people go and they just start pitching the crap out of you and you hate it. You know, get away from me. So learning how to network effectively is a skill. It's not an accident. And walking in with the idea you're going to pitch your stuff is stupid and won't work. There was someone I talked to 3 weeks ago, and they had a business, and their business was helping graduating seniors find interviews and get employment. They had a night that was sponsored where alums from that university came back, and this person whose job it was to help the seniors was telling the seniors about this meeting where the alums were going to be. And one of them said, I don't want to go to there. I looked at the list. There's nobody there that's in my field. And talk about short-sighted. People that have graduated and been in the business world in any field have learned how to network, learned how to find things and everything else. And if they're going to take the time as an alum to come back on their own time to help graduating people, the fact that somebody isn't in the particular field of biotech or whatever, that has nothing to do with anything. That's saying, gee, I only want to talk to people that might right this minute have a job for me to offer. That's really stupid, short-sighted. So learning to network is learning to extend your tentacles out into the world. So that's one way. And I use this picture for that reason. There's 1,000 different ways to network and 1,000 different venues, online, offline. There's speed networking, there's slow networking, there's people that the same people that meet every week, you know, like B&I. And this episode is just to mention that. If you want help, get a hold of me. Crush Your Client Enrollment is the best program I've ever seen to get clients. Okay. So then after you do that, you have to experiment. Now, that is all in person. Some of it's online, like meetups going online, but there's also social media. And we talked a little bit about that last episode about using social media as unpaid advertising. You can do it, and you can do it really poorly, or you can do it really well. Learning how to use that effectively is really important. Or you can decide you don't want to mess with it at all, but you better have other ways to meet the people that you've identified need your products and service. Social media is the new version of, you know, Yellow Pages, networking, and some weird mix of all that kind of stuff that is difficult to unravel. It's difficult to find. They change the rules all the time. The algorithms change. Who uses what platform changes all the time. So getting help and learning how to use that effectively is important. However you meet these people, whether it's in networking or social or in the grocery store, and learning the skill to meet them effectively is critical. But after you do that, then what? Because today we're about closing deals and making sales, not just meeting people. So there's going to be a small percentage of people that are ready to buy whatever you have the minute they meet you. Oh, I've been looking for that. Tell me more about that. Because they're actively trying to solve a problem. Okay, that's few and far between. That is not the norm. Right? That is not what usually happens. People are just out looking for your product or service. It does happen, but not very often. So then there has got to be a process of assembling, tracking, and nurturing contacts. You make all these contacts, and you make them on social, you make them in person. And how you do that, and maybe you're doing some advertising also in newspapers, electronic media, maybe you're doing ads on Google or other things, but however it is, there's always a contact, a first contact. Learning how to make that first contact memorable and effective is important. So the first contact can't be clumsy. It can't be off-putting. It can't feel pushy because you're jaded. So am I. We don't want to be sold to. There's too many pushy things going on as it is. Everybody trying to tell you how to vote, how to think, what to buy, what to wear, and on and on and on. And so we develop a thick skin, get away from me. So how do you get around that? Well, you learn to network effectively and create contacts where repeated or follow-up contact is welcome, not shunned. You all know what it's like when you meet somebody and then they keep bugging you and you're like, get away from me. And maybe you have the courage to tell them to get lost and maybe you don't. But it's not welcome. Good networking creates a welcome follow-up. And the skill to do that is in Crush Your Client Enrollment. The skill to do that is essential. Then you have these contacts, all of whom now are looking forward to your follow-up convo. Still, many of them won't be prospects because they don't need what you have right now. And maybe you haven't had time in the initial stage to figure that out. And that's okay. You have to have a way to do that. But if your follow-up is welcome, then learning how to nurture, that's the next phase, nurture, learning how to nurture those relationships where follow-up contact is welcome, and you don't get pushy and you don't get weird, because otherwise they go in the get lost pile. They want you to get lost. So learning how to follow up and nurture effectively so that you can tell, are they prospects now? Do they need what I have or not? And you can find that out very easily and without being pushy. And again, that's why I created Crush Your Client Enrollment. Finding out what people need is not difficult. You can create an atmosphere where they share it freely with you. And then you can understand whether or not you even have something for them. And whether you do or don't, you've created a positive relationship where follow-up conversation is welcome and you become a trusted thing. And so later, if they need whatever it is you sell, they'll come back to you because the experience was pleasant, or if someone else needs it, they'll recommend them to you. Why? Because their interchange with you was pleasant and powerful and useful and good. And again, learning how to behave that way and nurture those relationships is what part of Crush Your Client Enrollment is all about. Okay, so now we've got be able to describe exactly what you do clearly and in 5 seconds. Be able to describe who you help exactly and clearly and in 5 seconds. Learning to see where they are, and there's a whole possibilities. In-person networking, online networking, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the social media, they're nothing more than billboards and platforms. And yeah, they're crowded and noisy and just like a want ad page full of things, right? There's thousands of want ads and they're all selling stuff. You ever use those in the newspaper? Oh, the print was small and it was hard to find. Well, social media is like that. You got to know how to use it well and not create off-putting stuff. But again, that takes getting the help you need, identifying the social media connected with your product, service, and your market, and then getting underway and moving forward. The next thing is making, after you make that first contact, and they become a contact, skill in creating welcome follow-up and in then nurturing a relationship. In that process, you discover whether or not they need what you have and whether or not they're willing to do stuff. Now, if I sell, you know, screwdrivers, finding out they need a screwdriver is easy. There's no more to it than that. If I'm selling coaching, which I do, not only do I need to find out if they have a problem I know how to solve, I need to find out if they're willing and ready to solve it now, because with coaching, it always involves personal change. Because remember, I sell change because how they've been in the world has brought them where they are. So if they want a different outcome, different result, different, then guess what? They have got to change who they're being, and that's the foundation. So they may need what I have, but they don't want to change right now, then they're not really ready to go. But you can find all that out in the nurturing relationship. The last part is closing the deal, getting the credit card, getting the credit card, yes, signing a contract, you know, giving you cash, whatever the form of payment is that you're going to use. That is so easy. People get afraid of that. They think, oh, it's so hard. I hate asking for money. You're not. If you have talked to them and learned from them, created a positive exchange experience where follow-up is welcome, and you have that under your belt, then you know whether or not they need your service. You can also find out, depending on if this is applicable, like it is for coaching, whether or not they're willing to go do that right now. Maybe they want to paint their house. And so, you know, they need paint, but they're not going to make time to paint the house right now. So then buying paint now doesn't make sense, right? So maybe you can refer them to painters, or maybe you can set up another way to help meet that need. Coaching is the same way. If they have a problem and I can help them solve it, but they're not willing to do the work, then they don't, you know, they're not ready to be a closed deal. When you know for sure someone needs what you have, and they're ready to use it right now, it is so easy to close the deal, to get the sale. And in fact, what I discover almost all of the time is someone asks me, so how do I buy this? So how do we do this coaching? So what does it look like to work with you? How can I get more of this? And then selling is nothing. It is simply answering that question, providing the service you now know they need and want to, you know, want to implement right now. So closing the deal is simply acknowledging that need on both sides. Yes, I need that. Yes, I want it. How do I get that? That's easy. And what happens is people want to get ahead of that. They get to want to close the deal way before it's time, especially with consulting and coaching. If you're buying or selling widgets, you know, that problem is different because widget, you know, what a widget is really clear. So, and again, the details of how to know when to propose, how to propose, how to answer and handle concerns. I don't even call them objections. People are going to have concerns, especially if the product or service you sell is advertised somewhere else and they think they can get it, or if it feels expensive. If it feels expensive or they think they can get it somewhere else, you haven't done a good job in your nurturing. By the time you're finished with the nurturing process, they need to be salivating and believe that you're the only place they can get this and that the value provided is five times more than the price you're going to quote them. If those two conditions are met, they can't get it anywhere else and they're going to get value three to five times bigger than whatever they're investing, they'll buy it in a heartbeat. And closing the deal is like breathing. Crush your client enrollment. Reach out to me. Let's get you on the way to getting all you want. Here, I'm going to put a URL here up on the screen really quick. And I think I have crush your client enrollment. No, I don't. So reach out to me. Connect with me on social and reach out. Because crush your client enrollment will help you. Close deals, make sales. Fill up your business. If you have a valuable product and service, there's no reason in the universe you're not creating all the money you want. So let's fix that. I invite you to not stay where you are. I invite you to lean into your possibility. I invite you to create all the money you need, make the impact you desire, and live with full joy and purpose every day. I know it's possible. I do it. I offer that opportunity to you. So you can create powerfully and very soon your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on